Bibles, please, turn to the book of John, chapter 15. John, chapter 15, we'll read verses 1 through 11 together. We'll read this passage responsively. John, chapter 15, verses 1 through 11. John, chapter 15, verses 1 through 11. I am the true vine, and my Father is the husbandman. Every branch in me that beareth not fruit, he taketh away. And every branch that beareth fruit, he purgeth it, that it may bring forth more fruit. Now you are clean through the word which I have spoken unto you. Abide in me, and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit of itself, except it abide in the vine, no more can ye, except ye abide in me. I am the vine, and ye are the branches. He that abideth in me, and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit, for without me ye can do nothing. If a man abide not in me, he is cast forth as a branch, and is withered, and men gather them, and cast them into the fire, and they are burned. If ye abide in me, and my words abide in you, ye shall ask what ye will, and it shall be done unto you. Herein is my Father glorified, that ye bear much fruit. So shall ye be my disciples. As the Father hath loved me, so have I loved you. Continue ye in my love. If ye keep my commandments, ye shall abide in my love, even as I have kept my Father's commandments, and abide in his love. And let's finish on verse 11 together. Ready? These things have I spoken unto you, that my joy might remain in you, and that your joy might be full. And let's pray. Father, thank you so much for what you've done for us here in our church. Lord, this morning the altars were just packed, and people being saved, and eternity being changed. God, things were so exciting, and so many people here, and yet we're still needy. We're still sinful. And though this morning was glorious and great, and though we know that you were pleased, we still need to hear from you because we need our lives changed. Holy Spirit, please fill our preacher with your power. Fill us with your power as we listen. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. Earlier, we read from John chapter 15, verses 1 through 11. These, of course, are the words of Jesus Christ, and Jesus speaks of the vine, and he speaks of the branches. He tells the disciples the conditions for having a fruitful Christian life. He mentions our bearing fruit, and then he mentions our bearing more fruit. And then finally, he mentions the possibility of our bearing much fruit. So fruit, more fruit, and much fruit. He tells us that by bearing much fruit, that the Father then is glorified. Now, this is an often used passage of Scripture, but I want to draw our attention today to verse number 11, where it says, "These things have I spoken unto you, that my joy might remain in you, and that your joy might be full." Those last few words of verse number 11 captured my attention one day when it said, "Joy might be full." Notice those words, that my joy might remain in you. Jesus desires that his joy remain in us. If his joy remains in us, we could then have fullness of joy. I want to have full joy. I would like for you to have full joy. Now, the implication here is that if our joy can be full, then I guess our joy could also be half full. Are you full joy? Are you three-quarters joy? Are you half joy? Are you a fourth joy? Or are you all the way down to the bottom of the bucket? I have here three bottles of joy. There's a full bottle of joy. Here is a half full bottle of joy. And here is the bottle that barely has some joy in it. You can see it there at the bottom, but it does have joy in it. I call the sermon this evening, "How Full
is your bottle of joy. You know, there's some of you that desperately need this. You sing a song about how happy Christians are, but you couldn't tell it by looking at your face. Christians are going to smile. Christians are going to laugh. Christians are going to enjoy life. God wants us to have full joy. 1 Peter 1:8 says this. It speaks of joy unspeakable and full of glory. Now, there's a quality of joy mentioned there because it speaks of an unspeakable joy. What's it mean? I have so much joy, I just can't even describe it to you. Then it uses the word joy, a joy that's unspeakable and full of glory. That joy is full of glory. So now you see a quality, unspeakable. You see a quantity, full. I'll tell you something. I like the idea of being full of joy. I like that. Joy, you must understand then, is a spiritual quality. Galatians 5:22, where it's speaking of the Holy Spirit, it says, but the fruit of the Spirit is love, and the second one is joy. You see, it is a spiritual thing to have joy. It's a spiritual thing to be full of joy. That means this, a Christian's joy bottle, if you will, can fluctuate in its quantity. Psalm 51:12, the psalm that was penned by David after his fall into sin, he said this, he said, restore unto me the joy of thy salvation. See, David, due to sin, had to go to God and he said, God, I need you to refill my joy bottle. You see, David had gotten himself into sin. You get into sin, sin will empty your joy out. And if you go back to God, you can go from having not a completely empty bottle. You can get back to being full of joy. A Christian's joy bottle, though, is never empty. And I thank God for that. Listen to this verse. Luke chapter 10, verse number 20, it says, notwithstanding, and this rejoice not, that the spirits are subject unto you, but rather rejoice because your names are written in heaven. Notice it says, rejoice because your name is written in heaven. See, you may not have power over unclean spirits, and you say, well, that causes me a lack of joy. But let me tell you something. As a saved person, there will never be a time when your name is not written in the Lamb's Book of Life. That little joy right there in the bottom of that, that's bigger than what you think. You will never be totally empty of joy because once you're saved, you're always saved. There may be some other things going wrong in life, but you will always have the joy of knowing your name is written in the Lamb's Book of Life. You know, there's a joy that nobody can take from you. John 16:22 says, and you now therefore have sorrow. But I will see you again, and your heart shall rejoice, and your joy no man take it from you. Wow, I'm glad of that. Now, one of the joys that nobody can take from you is the joy of knowing your name's written in the Lamb's Book of Life. But may I say this to you also? Did you know that nobody can take your joy? You must give it up. You could be mean to me. I want you to pay attention. Look right this way. Couple pockets of people are misbehaving. Look this way. Don't disturb the people behind you. But you understand that you could be mean to me, but that does not mean that I'll lose my joy. You see, you can't take my joy from me. I must give up my joy. Did you know you can actually be fuller than full of joy? Listen to this verse. 1 Peter 4:13 says, but rejoice inasmuch as ye are partakers of Christ's suffering, that when his glory shall be revealed, he may be glad also with exceeding joy. Exceeding. That means you're virtually overflowing. You are exceeding the norm of joy. If I wanted to, I won't do it. I could take this bottle, take the lid off of this one, and I could just squirt it in there until it's overflowing. And you and I should be overflowing. We should be exceeding with the joy of the Lord. James 1, verse number 2 uses the words, all joy. God wants you to be full of joy. God wants you to have exceeding joy. God wants you to have all joy. But we live in a negative and a depressed world. And if you're like that, you're supposed to be like this. Christians are to be different. We are in this world, but not of this world. Let's take a little time here, and I'll move as quickly as I can, but let's learn how to have full joy. Let me explain it to you. First of all, full joy comes from having your life full of God. Psalm 16, verse 11 says, "Thou wilt show me the path of life. In thy presence is fullness of joy." Notice, it says, "In thy presence is fullness of joy." When you and I are weak in our joy, we've not been with Him enough. What do? Fullness of joy comes from having your life full of God. In other words, walk with God. Romans 5:11 says, "And not only so, but we also joy in God." We joy in God. To have His joy, then you must be close to Him. You know, laughing is contagious. It's contagious. Smiling is contagious. You get around somebody that's smiling, you're going to end up smiling. You get around somebody that's laughing, you're going to end up laughing. Let me ask you a question. Are you close enough to God to get His joy? I mean, if you've been around Him, then you're going to be like Him. Nehemiah 8:10 says, "For the joy of the Lord is your strength." Hey, can you see Him smiling? Did you see God laughing? You know, if you would just stop and look, you would see God. He's smiling. Our God is a joyous God. This thing of getting close to God, it's also accomplished in our prayer life. Fullness of joy is going to come when our life is full of God. John 16:24 says, "Hitherto have you asked nothing in my name. Ask, and you shall receive, that your joy might be full." A prayer life and a walk with God will help you to have joy in your Christian life. Hey, if you walk closely enough, consistently, and daily with God, His joy will rub off on you, and you won't be grump all the time, turning your nose up at everything, grunting at everybody, being sad, looking like you're down in the mud. If you get with God, you'll come away saying, "I've got something to be happy about." Because fullness of joy is found in His presence. Your face is telling us you've not been with God. It's telling on you now. It's telling on you. So fullness of joy comes from having your life full of God. Psalm 16:11. Then fullness of joy comes as a result of the fullness of the Holy Spirit. Now listen. There are folks in here, you have a little joy, but don't you want fullness of joy? Don't you want exceeding joy? Don't you want all joy? If you're going to have all joy, if you're going to be full of joy, that the Bible says, but the fruit of the Spirit is joy. Romans 14:17 speaks of joy in the Holy Ghost. Fullness of joy comes from fullness of the Spirit. When you get saved, the Holy Spirit is sealed inside you. You get all of Him. The problem is, He doesn't get all of you. You must surrender all of you to Him if He's going to get all of you. By being yielded to the Holy Spirit, it will produce joy. If you're yielded a little, you'll get a little joy. If you're yielded in an average way, you'll have average joy. But if you are yielded in a supernatural, total way to the Spirit of God, you can experience all joy. Don't ignore the Holy Spirit. Don't quench the Holy Spirit. Don't deny Him His slightest request. Don't avoid the Holy Spirit. Don't grieve the Holy Spirit. When you push Him away, you're pushing your joy away. If you were full of joy and you begin to deny Him, you might as well take your joy bottle, turn it upside down, and just start squirting it out on the ground. When you deny the Holy Spirit, when you don't surrender Him, you're hurting your joy. Let me tell you, the happiest times of my life are the times when I felt the Holy Spirit of God was doing something miraculous. You say, "Well, Bill, that's always happening." I'm always happy. You're looking at a man that is happy. Well, that doesn't mean I don't have burdens. That does not mean I don't have challenges. Look, folks, we're going to have a church like we have. It makes the devil mad. He takes his shots at me. But I've got news for you. I've got joy. I've got the joy, 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 joy down in my heart. How much? Fullness of joy. Fullness of joy is a result of fullness of the Spirit. Hey, have you ever really been full of joy? If you have been filled with the Spirit of God, then you had the potential of fullness of joy. Number three, fullness of joy comes from a life full of preaching. A life that is full of preaching. 2 Corinthians 1:24 says this, "Not for that which have dominion over your faith, but are helpers of your joy." This is Paul. Paul's preaching here. Paul's teaching here. And Paul is speaking to the people at Corinth saying, he says, Paul is saying, "I am a helper of your joy." Who is Paul? He was the preacher. "I, as your pastor, I am to help you. I am a helper of your joy. I am to preach things that will help you to be full of joy. I am to try to take you from being empty of joy and get you to increase the joy of your life." Now, that means I'm to warn you of things that could squelch your joy. You say, "Well, Brother Lewis, that means you ought to be preaching soft little sermons all the time and just make everybody laugh all the time and be happy all the time. If I did that, sin would destroy your life and you would not be happy. You would not have joy. If I love you, I will tell you what sin will do to you. I will love you all the time I'm doing it, but I'll warn you if I love you." Why? I want you to have fullness of joy. And those of you that only have half joy, it's probably because you didn't listen to me when I preached against a sin that would cause you to have fullness of joy. And you're so empty of joy because you didn't do what the preaching told you to do so you could have, hey, abundant joy. That's what I want for you. I like this. Man and his wife awake at 3 o'clock in the morning by a loud pounding on the door. Man gets up and goes to the door where a blonde woman who's a stranger is standing in the pouring rain and asks for a push. "Not a chance," says the man. "It's 3 o'clock in the morning." He slams the door and returns to bed. "Who is that?" asks his wife. "Just some blonde woman asking for a push," he answers. "Well, did you help her?" his wife asks. "No, I didn't help her. It's 3 o'clock in the morning. It's pouring rain out there." "Well, you have a short memory," says his wife. "Can't you remember about 3 months ago when we broke down and those men helped us? I think you should get up and help her. You should be ashamed of yourself," she said to her husband. Well, the man goes and does what he's told. He gets dressed. He goes out into the pouring rain. He's looking everywhere for the woman. He calls into the dark. He says, "Hello, are you still there? It's raining so hard that nobody can hear." He screams again, "Hello, are you still there?" "Yes," comes back an answer. "Do you still need a push?" he calls out. "Yes, please," comes from the backyard. He walks around. He said, "Where are you?" She said, "I'm over here on the swing." Fullness of joy. Folks, as a preacher, I want to help you to have fullness of joy in your life. Preaching helps us to find fullness of joy. Paul said to the Corinthian people in 2 Corinthians 1:24, he said, "I am a helper of your joy." Look, if you come to church 3 times a week, you have 3 times the chance of having fullness of joy. Some here, I'll tell you something, if I need joy, I listen to more preaching. I found that preaching produces joy. And we need the preaching and the teaching of the Word of God to help us have joy in our life. So, full joy comes from having a life full of God. Full joy comes from the fullness of the Holy Spirit. Full joy comes from a life full of preaching. Full joy comes from a life full of God's Word. 1 John 1:4 says, "And these things write I unto you, that your joy may be full." What God used John to write there was written, and John was able to say, "This is God's Word, and what I've written unto you is God's Word, and this will produce fullness of joy." So the Word of God will help. If you have a life full of the Word of God, you have the availability of fullness of joy. Folks, there are 7 days in a week. If you read the Bible 1 day a week, you could have 1/7 joy then. If you read and live, read your Bible 2 days a week, maybe you could have 2/7 container full of joy. If you live your Bible only 1 day a week, there's some people come to church and that's the only day they live for the Lord or think about the Lord or do anything about the Lord, and they wonder why they don't have a happy life. They're functioning at 1/7 joy because they're only living for God 1/7 of the time. The Word of God, being full of the Word of God, produces joy. More of the Word, more joy. Less of the Word, less joy. If you fill your life with the Word of God, you're filling your life with potential joy. See, it said there, "And these things write we unto you, that your joy may be full." We need full joy. We don't want half joy. We don't want 3/4 joy. We don't want 1/8 joy. We need full joy. Exceeding joy. Abundant joy. All joy. And the Bible teaches that we can get it. Well, how in the world are we going to get it? We'll get it by having a life full of God. We'll get it by having a life where we're full of the Spirit. We'll get it by having a life full of preaching. We'll get it by having a life full of the Word of God. Full joy. Number 5. Full joy comes from a life full of soul winning and serving others. Soul winning and serving others. The men sang a song earlier, and it refers to this verse. The Bible says in Luke 15:7, "I say unto you that likewise joy shall be in heaven over one sinner that repenteth more than over 99 just persons which need no repentance." Here, there is joy in heaven over a lost person getting saved. Now, the Bible teaches in heaven, the angels are singing, "Holy, holy, holy." Now, they don't understand redemption because they've never experienced it. You say, well, who's up there experiencing joy? I believe God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit, and other redeemed people are experiencing joy when one sinner down here gets saved. Can you imagine the party that they threw in heaven this morning when they watched 72 different people walk the aisle in this auditorium receiving Jesus Christ as personal Savior? This joy is not weak people joy. This joy is full God joy. I want God joy. That's what I'm looking for. I don't want a half a tank. I want a full tank. I want to pull into the joy pump and say, "Fill her up, God. Fill her up." I want to have joy in this life. You see, we get joy by serving God. Hey, we get joy by winning souls and serving others. Hey, stirring God's joy up brings joy into our lives. Converts who serve God bring joy to the soul winner that won them to Christ. Bible says in 3 John verse number 4, "I have no greater joy than to hear that my children walk in truth." Can I tell you something? I was watching soul winners today as they were bringing people they won to Christ down the aisle to make public their salvation. I watched soul winners bringing people down the aisle not only to make public their salvation, but to follow the Lord in believers' baptism. I watched soul winners today get somebody down the aisle in the tank, and their converts are back in church tonight, and I'm going to tell you, that soul winner right now is full of joy. They're full of joy. Hey, participators have joy. Spectators watch everybody else's joy. They watch everybody else's joy. Being a part of it is exciting. Bus workers, they really enjoyed church this morning. Oh, and we watched bus kids coming from every aisle getting born again. I looked out. There were bus workers with smiles on their face from ear to ear. I looked out. Hey, when the junior church converts started coming down the aisle, you can be dead sure. The preachers that were preaching over there, they were happy and full of joy. Why? Well, the Bible says to us, "I have no greater joy than when my children walk in truth." Those of you that never serve anybody, those of you that never get anybody saved, I apologize to you, you're going to have to spend your life half full. So what are you trying to get out of you? I'm not trying to get something out of you. I'm trying to put something in you. There is benefit to this thing. The happiest people in the world are the ones that are serving others. Soul winners enjoy invitation time. to the people that visit and the people that are interested in souls and the people that love watching people get saved. They enjoy invitation time. There are others that the minute we bow our head, they race for the doors so they can get to a restaurant. They think they're happy. They're not happy. That's not joy. Hey, the Sunday school, the people that are building their Sunday school classes, and folks, there's a difference in being a Sunday school teacher and a Sunday school builder. Not just to show up and teach your lesson. You're to be reaching people and helping people and changing the lives of people. But let me tell you, Sunday school builders, they have joy. They have joy. Full joy is a full church house. And all those people to help. Do you have any idea how many people we get to help now because of the influx of people that came in today? Listen, full joy comes from what? Helping others. Full joy comes from winning others to Jesus Christ. Number X. Full joy comes from a full understanding of sorrow.
Yes.
Now stay with me. So you know, and let me double check to make sure I'm telling the truth. Now, I thought I was going to tell you this was the last point, but we've got two more. Hang in there, though. Full joy. Full joy comes with a full understanding of sorrow. John 16:20 says this, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, that ye shall weep and lament, but the world shall rejoice, and ye shall be sorrowful, but your sorrow shall be turned into joy." Hear those words? "But your sorrow shall be turned into joy." You see, I think full joy is available when we understand sorrow properly. Notice, God has a way of turning our sorrow into joy. Notice here, He didn't say your sorrow shall be replaced with joy, but that it will become joy. I believe this. However much sorrow you have, you can have an equal amount of joy. Because if your sorrow can be turned into joy, that means you have the opportunity of experiencing as much joy as you did sorrow. So some of you say, oh, the heartaches of life, you have any understanding then what's available to you. The deeper your sorrow, the greater your joy and your joy potential. Paul said of himself in 2 Corinthians 6:10, he said, "As sorrowful, yet always rejoicing." Let me read it to you again. 2 Corinthians 6:10, Paul said, "As sorrowful, yet always rejoicing." How is this possible? I'm sorrowful, but always rejoicing? I'll tell you how. My circumstances are sorry, but my spirit is stable and joyful. What's going on around me is chaotic. What's going on inside me is stable and sure and Holy Spirit-led, and I'm full of joy. I'm full of joy in the midst of a world full of depression. My joy is independent of my circumstances. It's like this. I'm sorry that happened, but God is still good. God says in John 16:20, our sorrow can be turned into joy. It is transformed. You see, the caterpillar of sorrow turns into the butterfly of joy. In John 16:21, God illustrates it for us. He says this, "A woman, when she is in travail, has sorrow because her hour is come. But as soon as she is delivered of the child, she remembereth no more the anguish for joy that a man is born into this world." Jesus gave us an example to us in Hebrews 12:2, where He said, "Looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before Him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God." He suffered in joy, realizing there was an eternal purpose in His suffering. Hey, the disciples suffered in joy. In Acts chapter 5, verse 41, it says, "And they departed from the presence of the council, rejoicing that they were counted worthy to suffer shame for His name." Paul said, I am as sorrowful, but yet rejoicing. And your sorrow can be turned into joy. Fullness of joy comes when we have the right attitude about suffering. And then finally, let me say, fullness of joy comes when your life is full of sacrifice for Jesus. Full joy comes when your life is full of sacrifice for Jesus. Psalm 43 verse 4 says, "Then will I go unto the altar of God, unto God my exceeding joy." There it is, at the altar, exceeding joy. Now the altar was a place of sacrifice. The altar was a place where we gave our sacrifices. This altar is a place where you must sacrifice your pride and sacrifice your ego to bow. And some never come and never experience exceeding joy. Until you'll sacrifice your pride, you'll never be full of joy. When you're full of you, you won't be full of Him. You need to empty you of you. You need to humble yourself before God. You need to put your ego down. Humble yourself. And when we empty ourselves of self, we can be full of His Spirit, full of His Word, full of a desire to do things for others, and therefore producing a fullness of joy, exceeding joy. See, the altar is a place for it. We're going to have a double tithe Sunday. I hope you'll help us. I really do. You know, when we give and when we sacrifice, there's a certain joy in it. Again, those that sacrifice, over 1,300 people in church this morning here on the property, the people that sacrificed the most had the highest joy. Sacrifice produces joy. Sacrifice is not based on how much you give, but it's based on how much you have left after you give. There's some of you sitting out there saying, "Brother Lewis, I am so tired. I am so tired right now." You're not trying to be disrespectful, but you're thinking, "Please, preacher, get us out of here. I want to go home." I understand, but there is a joy inside the one who sacrificed today for God. What did it cost you? Or do you just give God the leftovers? Think about the refrigerator at home. You know, we leave things in there. They're in there a little long. Brother Young could then let you bring it in to be a biology project. We could work on mold and other things. Penicillin, if you will. Let me ask you something. If Jesus came to your house, would you go to the fridge, pull out something moldy and put it on a plate down in front of Him? No, you wouldn't do that. Why is it in life we give God what's left over? We give God, if we got a little money left over, we'll give it to Him. If we got a little time left over, we'll give it to Him. Yeah, if we have a little of this left over, a little of that left over, but we realize life is really just all about us. Let's take care of us primarily, and then we can work Him in, we will. You'll never have joy that way. You'll never have joy that way. Because the Bible says, "Then will I go into the altar of God, unto God my exceeding joy." The altar is a place of sacrifice. And until we come to the point where we're willing to sacrifice, and I really don't think there's anything that you and I could give up in this life that's really much of a sacrifice. He gave everything for us. And one day when you see heaven for 30 seconds, you'll say, "It was worth everything that I did for God." How much do those little things inconvenience you for God? But you see, to have a full bottle of joy, you must empty yourself of self. When you're full of yourself, you can't be full of joy. Your joy is best achieved by doing things for others, not by trying to bring joy to yourself. You say, "Brother Lawrence, I've been looking for joy, and I've been trying to do some things and bring some things into my life for joy." Can I tell you the best thing for you to do? You need to go bring joy into somebody else's life. You doing things for you will not produce joy. You doing things for others will produce joy. Selfishness never has, and it never will, produce joy. Selfishness does not produce joy. Your joy is best achieved by helping others to get joy. Sacrifice for God and others, and you can experience full joy. Anybody here that has any maturity in the Christian life at all knows one of the greatest thrills of life is giving. You're not made happy by getting. You're made happy by giving. You're not made happy by others sacrificing for you. You're made happy by you sacrificing for others. You're not made happy by gaining. There are people in the world that they're always chasing after something. I want it, I want it, I want it. It'll make me happy. And they run around from item to item and big boy toy to big boy toy and all the fancy clothes and all the fancy houses and all the money, and they're not happy. They're still brokes and druggies and emotionally falling apart, and their marriages and their families are empty of joy. You don't have to have a lot of stuff to have joy. You have to have God. You need to pray. You need the Word of God in your life. And you need to get your eyes off yourself and get your eyes on somebody else. Hey, we have a happy church here. We have a happy church, but this church is not all about this church. This church is all about others. We're out to help others and serve others and feed others and clothe others and win others to Jesus Christ. And any time a church pulls into itself and it's all about me, 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 the joy leaves. You see, I'll tell you what, Brother Owens, there were people everywhere today, and I couldn't find a parking spot. You ought to thank God you couldn't find a parking spot. That parking lot's not all about you. You say, some visitor took my pew. No, they didn't. I smelled you tonight. You still have your pew. You're made happy by serving others. You're made happy by what you do for others. You're made happy by sacrificing and giving. You see, we ought to want fullness of joy. John 15:11, he said, "These things have I spoken unto you, that my joy might remain in you, and that your joy might be full." Nobody is ever empty of joy, because if your name's written in heaven, it'll always be there. You'll always have joy. But whether that's all the joy you're experiencing or you're experiencing fullness of joy depends on this. Exactly what I said. A life full of God, full of the Holy Spirit, full of preaching, full of God's Word, full of serving others and winning others to Christ, having a full understanding of sorrow, and a life full of sacrifice for others. You say, well, that doesn't make sense to the world. Right. That's because God's ways are not our ways. God's thoughts are not our thoughts. You see, the way up is down. God knows what He's doing. You see, there's an absence of joy in my life. I think you'll find it tucked into one of the principles that I've taught you tonight from the Word of God. I want you to experience fullness of joy. Let's bow our heads and close our eyes. Every head bowed, every eye closed. If you're here tonight and you say, I'm not saved, then you'll never have fullness of joy. Happiest days you'll have are here in this life, because your next life is going to be the most miserable thing you could imagine. You'll die and go to hell. If you're here tonight and you're not sure you're saved, we want you to trust Christ as Savior. In a minute, we'll have an altar call. The men that are standing on this platform, sitting on this platform, will step down. They'll post themselves at the end of each aisle.